You are watching HR TV today from the conference Global HR Laboratory from People Management Forum. And my guest today is Luis Evans. Hello. Luis, you are a keynote speaker of the conference. You are British, British lecturer and coach, and also author of a unique communication methodology which helps people to understand better each other, and also within an international or cross-cultural environment. Am I right?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. It's a method which really helps us to focus on the behaviors that we bring to work every day. And obviously, the more complex the situation, for example, if you have people from different cultures working together, the level of diversity is higher, and there can be a misinterpretation of people's behaviors. So the tool itself, called the Five Chairs, is really something which allows us to focus in and be more aware of what behaviors we are bringing in, whether they're productive or unproductive. And very often we're not conscious of what we're bringing to work with us every day. So that's the basic.
Okay, I see your book you wrote, yes. Five Chairs, Five Choices. Yes. And also I see some small card where are those chairs are explained. Yes. So maybe can you explain it more?
Okay, well, I think the thing about the five chairs is when I do the training in companies, I have five chairs in the training room, and each chair has a different color.
You have them physically?
Physically, oh, always. Yeah, I have them physically, and I have a cover over each chair, and each chair is a color, it has a name, and it has an animal as a metaphor. So I'll give you a brief example. Let's say that somebody triggers you and somebody says to you something like, oh, that's a stupid idea. Now, you can have different reactions to somebody saying that's a stupid idea. Now, the first reaction from the first chair would be, what do you mean that's a stupid idea? Who do you think you are to have, you know, to think that my idea is stupid? Now, this is what's happening inside me. In the first chair, which is the red chair, the jackal chair, you attack people. So you have the usually unproductive behaviors that you can find in companies, which we all do, which is attacking, blaming, complaining, procrastinating. These are all the behaviors that hold companies back. So that's the first chair, yeah? The second chair is the yellow chair. It's the hedgehog chair, and it's called self-doubt. And my reaction, for example, yeah, if you say to me, that's a stupid idea, then I would say, yeah, it is a stupid idea. I always have stupid ideas.
And it leads nowhere.
Yeah, it leads nowhere, and I'm not competent, and I can't do anything, really. And so in that chair, we go into victimism. We don't believe in ourselves. It's a chair where we implode. And so the first chair, the jackal chair, and the hedgehog chair are the chairs that create the more unproductive behaviors in companies. Yeah? The third chair is the green chair, which is the meerkat chair. And the meerkat is an animal which is extremely vigilant. It's very aware. It's an animal which waits. So, in fact, the name of this chair is Wait, which is, what am I thinking? What am I telling myself? Is the meaning of that. So it's a chair when we slow down and we become curious about what is happening. And it's about emotional stability. Here in this chair, we have a choice. We can go into the less productive chairs or move somewhere else. So it's about emotional stability, self-leadership in that chair. The fourth chair, for example, if you said to me, I don't like that idea, that's a stupid idea. In that moment, I check in with myself and I think, well, I'm feeling a bit surprised by that comment and a bit confused and maybe a bit upset, because what I really need is some recognition or a chance to express myself. And so you, in this chair, you become aware of your needs and your emotions, and you can make requests of people, but you don't become aggressive. So it's the chair of assertiveness when you come into assertive behavior. And the last chair is the giraffe chair. The giraffe, because it has the biggest heart of all land animals. And there, the question we ask is, what is important for that person? So we go into empathy, understanding another person's approach, understanding where they're coming from. So if these last three chairs here are the ones that, for me, develop conscious leadership, where you try to remain emotionally stable, you're aware of your own needs, you're aware of other people's needs too, and it's a negotiation around those two things. So in any time of the day, we can go into any one of those chairs and it will have an impact. Sometimes positive, sometimes negative. And the idea is to try and spend more time in the top chairs rather than in the attacking chair or in the victim chair. So that, in a nutshell.
So can we tell that those three last chairs are better, maybe a bit, than...
Yeah, let's say productive. They're more productive. I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, it's very difficult to be conscious of one's behavior all the time. Because you have to be very, very self-aware. But I think we can learn that if you are, for example, the blame game, when you are blaming people, the impact on other people can be very unproductive, because people, if you're blaming, will become defensive or will feel shamed. And when that happens, it's very difficult to create collaboration. So the idea is that the first two chairs don't favor collaboration and understanding, and you know what you need to really move a company forward. They hold companies back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's have a close look, maybe on a chair or red chair, attack chair.
Yes.
If I have a person who is attacking me in yes. our conversation, what would be a game-changing question, or yes. you know what I mean, like how to gain cooperation?
Yes.
How
Exactly. So if the you said to me, well, that's a stupid idea. Now, I mean, the first reaction could be, who do you think? If you're in the giraffe chair, the first reaction would be, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what it is about my idea that doesn't ring true to that person. I become interested in what part of my idea is not working for you. So instead of judging you with your statement, I become curious and I would maybe ask the question, so that's a stupid idea. And I could say, well, I can see you're upset by something that I said. Well, what is that exactly? Tell me, I'm interested, what is it about my idea which doesn't suit your purposes? So I stay in the curiosity and I link to the emotion, because there's some validity behind that emotion if you're in any way upset with me. I need to know that and understand why, so that then we can negotiate the idea in a different way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not easy to do, because the first thing when we are attacked, the first thing we want to do is attack back or collapse. But it's about saying, okay, let's try and understand more about where the emotion is coming from.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about one thing, like, if we have maybe on a meeting there are about 20 people in one room,
yes.
and everyone sits on different chair,
yes.
or chair,
yes.
How to react? Yes. How to
manage it? Yeah. Well, for example, if you've got somebody over there who's being a jackal, then I mean, a leader needs a very high sense of awareness, not only self-awareness but other awareness. If somebody is maybe criticizing, or somebody is dominating the meeting or judging another person, you need to address the behavior. And I think in situations like this, if somebody is attacking, you could say something like that. I can see that there's something in you that is reacting to what is being said. I wonder if we can talk about what that is at the moment, because the way you are, the language you're using at the moment is not very productive for the atmosphere in the meeting. So I'd like to understand what's behind what you're saying. If somebody is not talking at all, they're usually in the hedgehog chair. So then it's about, maybe I would love to know what your opinion is here. I haven't heard from you yet. And you pull them out. I think it's our responsibility as leaders to be very aware of the needs of the team, because people have different characters, etc. So we tone down the volume here. We bring awareness to other people of what impact that they are having on other people in the meeting, so that the meeting doesn't become toxic.
Mm-hmm. Does it work in the same way, talking about personal communication and also online communication, maybe through email? And if I have colleagues, so maybe in China and I'm sitting here in Czech Republic, is the same?
Absolutely. I think even more so when communication is virtual, it's very risky because we lose all of this information. So I live in Italy. And the Italians are very emotional and very verbal, etc. And when there can be big misunderstandings, for example, when the Italians work with the Germans who tend to be more to the point, more direct, and can be perceived by the Italians as being rude. But vice versa, the Italians can be perceived by the Germans being as totally chaotic and unsystematic. If you sit them down and say, well, what do you need? We need structure. Oh, what we need is flexibility. As soon as people understand what cultural needs are, you can see the positive side to it. And in fact, some of the most powerful teams I've ever been working with were the Italians and the Germans, for example, together, because they complete each other if they build trust, because they're recognizing and understanding each other's needs. And it's the same when you're working with the Asians. What do they need? What makes them feel comfortable? So how can we make them feel comfortable so that they open up to us, so we can build trust? After that, then we can push our agenda when the trust has been built.
Mm-hmm. How usually your clients react when they are familiarized with this methodology? What changes in their minds and what they are saying?
The feedback that I get is they're much more sensitive towards one another. I mean, very often when I work with teams, when I go in, there's a lot of judgment of each other, because often in a management team, you get heads of department. So, you know, with heads of department, you might have marketing against sales and production against logistics. So the five chairs allows them to understand each other's needs. And the conversation is all about what do you need and what do I need. So they also tell me that it's easier for them to give feedback when they misbehave, because they can say things like, well, what chair are you in at the moment? Or, you know, well, that was a bit jackal, and what's the giraffe solution here? So it becomes like a language of a culture. And I think that's one of the big missions of the five chairs, is to help people be able to, number one, become aware of the impact they're having as individuals, but then to talk to each other about behaviors. Very often after meetings, some executive teams that I work with actually have I use puppets in the training room of a jackal and a giraffe. They have them in the training room, I mean in the meeting room. And they do afterwards, they say, well, after the meeting, they assess how the emotional or the effectiveness of the human factor of the meeting, how that went. Because the more productive you are, the more you're understanding and empathizing, the more work you get done. Because these red behaviors, the jackal behaviors, block collaboration. So everything is much slower.
Mm-hmm. I have maybe one harder question on you at the end of our interview. And it is, if you would get any communication tip for our publicum, what would you say?
A communication tip? I love that. I think for me, one of the biggest steps to moving towards more inclusive leadership is reducing your judgment of people. And I think if all of us can track our minds and just be aware of how much we are judging people and situations all the time, and actually become just a little bit more curious about why things are happening. Because when we're judging, it's about I know best. About being more curious about other people's approach. That is the beginning of another world. So just watching this, oh, that was a judgment. Let's be a little bit more curious, and things will change. So that's the top tip.
Liz, thank you for our nice interview. Enjoy
thank
the rest
you.
Of the conference.
Thank you very much. It's
and
been a pleasure talking to you.
Time.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.